sting, and you know, it's just well, a lot of it, I guess you'd say, is prophetic of what is going to happen when the Lord comes again. But it is for me and you to understand that, that is a concept and a, I guess, a precept that we understand. Jesus has got a feast prepared for those that are His. Amen. Why don't you take your Bible with me this morning, though? Let's look in the book and the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 6. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 6. And we've been thinking on this thought here and looking at it now for several weeks on the idea of don't move. And, you know, there's a lot of things through your Bible that would fit into that category. And here's going to be another one of them. And I'm just going to tell you this morning, we're going to read in Mark chapter number 6. We're going to start down at verse number 30. And I want to say this, we don't want to move when it comes to following Jesus Christ. Don't move when it comes to following Him. Now, you can see throughout the previous chapters the things that Jesus is doing, and He has commissioned His disciples. They're out doing God's work, and you know, there's a lot of things going on there in chapter number 6 in the early part of it. And then in the middle part of that chapter, basically middle part of it, we read the story of how John the Baptist is beheaded and all that goes along with that. And then you come down to verse number 30, if you will, and it said, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them and came together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto Him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto Him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And He saith unto them, How many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And He commanded them to make all sit down upon by companies upon the green grass. And they came and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided He among them all. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank You, Lord, again for this morning. Thank You again. And Lord, I just add Your touch that are said. Speak this heart this morning. Thank You for the songs that we've already enjoyed and the fellowship in them, the fellowship that we had in giving and just seeing each other today. Thank You for that. But now may we just realize that our fellowship is with You and that we can just enjoy the blessings and the goodness of God. Just be a blessing to those that need You today, wherever they may be. Encourage them, give them grace and goodness. And again, we'll just praise You for all that You're doing, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Again, as I say, we're looking at this idea of don't move. Don't move. I mean, here is a group of people. And you know what you find them doing? You find them moving to wherever Jesus is. And I'll tell you, that's a good thing. As I said, the idea is you don't want to move away from Jesus and where He is.
You don't ever want to get away from Him. You want to be near Him. You want to be close to Him. You want to be as spotted up with Him as you can be. Amen? I mean, we all need to be close to Jesus. And this whole story here is that you've got to trust in Him. You realize that He is the place you can deposit your trust and your confidence. It can all be put right in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so here the story develops. And I want you to see maybe three things that you'll see out of this. The ideas that are presented here to us in this gathering. All of us know this is a miraculous thing, right? I mean, this is a miraculous thing. There's a few little things. Now, all of the Gospels present this story. You'll find it in Matthew. You'll find it in Mark here, obviously, Luke, and in the book of John. All four of the Gospels have this incident reported, and in varying depth and degrees and the little details of it, you'll find all of those things just spread out. But there's some stuff from every one of those accounts that you can take. I just like this one at Mark because of some of the things that he says and how that he addresses the people when he sees them. And we'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But first of all, I want you to notice this, if you will. I want you to notice when you come to Jesus and you're His and you belong to Him, I'll tell you, there's some things that He wants you to have in your life when you come to Him. And don't move from Him, because I think if when you move from Him, some of those things that you need may be lacking in your life. First of all, I want you to know, Jesus wants to give you refreshment. You know that every one of us need a time of refreshment. Notice what it says there in verse number 30. It said, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Do you know that there are times in every one of our lives, I mean, there's times that you need to take a break. You know, we get the idea, and I think in our modern society, we get the idea that, man, it's work, 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 work. You know, I mean, I got to go get it. I got to go chase that dollar. I got to go do this thing. I just can't be a slacker. I can't be, you know, not doing some kind of work. But I want you to understand, friend, God gave us a pattern to know that there were some times when you need to rest. I think sometimes when people look at the Scriptures here and they see that Jesus even mentions to His disciples, they need to pull apart from the work of God. These guys had been working for the Lord. I mean, as I say, you go back and read this chapter, and it tells you here that in verse number 7 of this same chapter, "And He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two, gave them power over unclean spirits, commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, and He shod them with sandals, and not put on two coats." In other words, He sent them out to do the Lord's work, and they have come back and they've told Him, "We've been busy, we've been working, here's what happened, here's what we taught, these are the things that we saw," and you know, they're all excited about that. But Jesus looks at them, and what does He tell them? He says, "We need to take a break and come apart for a time of rest." And you know, sometimes that's not a bad thing. I know sometimes we think it's a bad thing. We think, well, you know, people ought to be busy. If you're going to be a preacher, be busy. If you're going to be a teacher, be busy. If you're going to be a, you know, whatever it is in the church, you need to be busy. I understand we need to be busy. But I'll tell you, there comes a time sometimes when you do need to take a break and rest. Vance Havner said this. Vance Havner, one of the old preachers from the old days, said this at one time. He said, "If you don't come apart every once in a while, then you'll surely come apart." Amen. And I mean, you'll just go to pieces if you're not careful. You can put, and we hear it and we see it nowadays. We hear people talking about being burned out and just, you know, overly tired, exhausted, and workaholics and all that kind of terminology that we hear in these days. Sometimes there comes a time, and Jesus tells him, "Hey, you need to come apart for a while. Let's go to a place and let's find some rest. Let's find some rest." Sometimes, you know, what you need in that time, sometimes you need a change of location. Sometimes Jesus said, we're going to go and get apart, and we're going to a deserted place. We're going to a desert area. Can I tell you, isn't it refreshing sometimes when you get to go somewhere else? Now, there's some of you in here, and you love the beach. You like to go down the beach and kick back and enjoy that and feel the breeze off of the ocean and put your feet in the sand and walk on the shore. And it just does something when you can change your location. There's some of you like to go to the mountains, and you get up there, and it's refreshing, and the air is blowing, and the leaves are changing, and nature is just out there greeting you, and there's nothing else pressing or coming up. Man, sometimes you just need a change of location. Amen. You need a change of location. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, let's go somewhere. Let's get apart from this. Well, what can you do when you get in those places, when you go somewhere like that? Well, I'll tell you, sometimes it will help you to refocus on what's important. You need to get your mind off of some things and get yourself refreshed and renewed and invigorated. And I say, Jesus wants to give you some of that refreshment. So sometimes you need to change location. Sometimes you need a change of occupation. Work, work, work. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Amen? Isn't that what Tennessee Ernie Ford said? Hey, somebody else said, hi-ho, hi-ho, I-O, I-O, so it's off to work I go, right? I mean, that's the way that we look at it. But sometimes you just need to get your mind changed out of that place of occupation. A work can occupy your mind. It'll occupy your mind so much that it will weigh you down. It will hinder. It will hurt. It will even affect your physical health if you're not careful sometimes. You can get so much. As I say, we got a society today, there's some people that get so pushed and burdened in their work that they just, that's all they do. Their mind is on work. They go home and they take work home with them. They get up in the morning and they're checking their emails. Oh, I got an email from the boss here at 3:30 in the morning, and I got to do this now. Brother, let me just tell you, that will take a toll on you, and sometimes your mind needs to be occupied with something else. And I'm talking about even when you're doing good things. If you're doing the work of the Lord, can I tell you, God doesn't expect us to have a workload for Him like we probably think that maybe we should. Because you know what He wants you to do sometimes? He wants you just to sit down and be with Him. Just sit down and take a rest with the Lord. The Lord says, look, He said, I want you to do this. I want you to just to take a break and sit down and know that I am God. Amen. If you think about the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm that says, the Lord is my shepherd. If you'll read that Psalm, you'll see that the Lord is the shepherd. We're going to get into that here in a few minutes. But you'll see that it's a restful, and it's a place of repose and refreshment. I mean, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He maketh me to lie down in the green pasture. I mean, I don't see any pressure. I don't see any push. I don't see any workload in all of those things. It's a time when there should be some rest. Matter of fact, let me tell you this. You remember what God did in the beginning? He created everything that He created in what? 6 days. But what did He do on the seventh day? He rested. As a matter of fact, when He gave the commandments to the children of Israel, He told them to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. It was a day of rest for the people of God. Hey, we've got people today that don't know up from down because they're pushed, they're stressed, they're worried, they're fried because of their jobs. And I know folks got to work. I understand that. I realize we all got to work. Amen? But I'm telling you this. Hey, sometimes you better just realize you need to unplug and take a rest. And Jesus says, you know, sometimes you need to change location. Sometimes you need to change this occupation. Sometimes you just need a change of the anticipation. Do you see what it says here? It says that He told them we need to go somewhere. Come ye yourselves apart to a desert place. Rest for a while. Listen to what He said. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Well, I ain't never had that much coming and going, have you? Somebody say amen right there. Right? But I'm just telling you, they were so pressed. The anticipation, anxiety, the frustration, all of those things were beginning to show. And isn't it amazing? Jesus could look at them and He could see what was going on with his children. And I want you to notice throughout the entirety of this whole story, you see that Jesus sees what's going on. Jesus sees. I mean, he looks at them, and in verse number 31, he said to them, he looked at them and he said, boys, y'all need a break. It's time for you to come apart and let's rest for a while. Now, that's not going to happen really, but it is going to be a change of scenery for them. So, but first of all, Jesus wants to give you some refreshment. I just want you to realize that. The Lord wants you to have a time of refreshing. There should be some times of refreshing in your life. Sometimes you just need it. I mean, you just gone through the battle, you've gone through the war, you've gone through the hard times, you've gone through the tough thing, and you just need a time of refreshing. But second of all, I want you to see this. Jesus wants to give you refreshment. But second of all, Jesus wants to give you enlightenment. Look in verses 33 and 34. Well, verse 32 it says, and they departed privately into a desert place by ship privately. They departed, they got away. But look in verse 33. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him. These people saw him, they said, hey, he's going somewhere. Let's find out where that, let's follow him. And it said that they ran afoot and thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto him. When they discovered where Jesus and the ship that he was in was going, they outran the ship and met him when he got ready to depart it. Boy, isn't that amazing? But that just tells me these people knew that there was something different about this man. Right. Now, I know everybody didn't follow him for the same reasons. But buddy, they saw something in him they hadn't seen. I mean, they had a synagogue in every place they went. There was a church, if you will, on every street corner around them. There was a church. There was a place to go. There was a guy reading scriptures. There was a group singing songs. There were people having their temple meetings. I mean, all of that was going on. But it wasn't doing anything for them, y'all. You know why? They didn't have the presence that they felt when Jesus was there with them. And when they knew that he had left, they started going out and chasing him, if you will. Jesus wants to give some enlightenment. Notice what it says in verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, when he got off the ship, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus saw these crowds that had come because he'd left this area, went to this area, and the crowds followed him, and he saw them. Well, what did he see, preacher? Well, I'll just say this. Jesus sees the people that the problems that these people are loaded with. He sees their hurt. He sees that they have a hungering soul. He sees that they're disappointed. He sees that they have despair. He sees that they are just loaded down with care and trouble. I mean, Jesus sees every bit of this when he looks at this crowd. I mean, they're following him. They're chasing him. And as I said, they know there's something different about him. When he spoke, it was something different. The Bible said that some of the people that came said, never man spake as this man spake. When they saw Jesus do what he did, the Bible said the people said to him, hey, he doeth all things well. I'm telling you, they understood Jesus was different. Me and you need to get a hold of that today, don't we? Hey, we need to be around him, because when we're around him, things are surely different. Things will be different. Things should be different. Things ought to be different when you're around Jesus. Amen. So here they are, and Jesus sees them. And guess what? Jesus cares more about them than he does his own self, comfort and health even. He sees them. And notice what it says in verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. He saw the crowd. And he was moved with compassion toward them because, it says, they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. First of all, I want you to notice this. Jesus scans the crowd. Jesus scans the entire crowd. He is there and sees this entire mass of people. He sees somebody. He doesn't just see a number. He doesn't see a multitude. As I said, he sees they're hurting. He sees their expectation is great because they don't have what they would like to in their spiritual lives. And there's a hunger. There's a thirst. There's a desire. There's a longing in them. Brother, let me tell you something. When you come into this house, when you and I come into God's house and we're looking for Him, we're not looking at who's wearing what. We're not looking at who said what and who done what and who blah, 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 you know, whatever. Man, if we come in here and say, Lord, we need to see You today and we need for You to see us. Amen. We need for You to come down. We want to say, and Jesus saw them and He said He had compassion toward them because they were just like sheep that didn't have a shepherd. He's scanning this crowd and He can actually see what they need and what they're doing. He searches that crowd. I mean, he sees them for one thing. He understands the vastness of the bunch. But then as he looks at them, He begins to search them. What does the Bible say? Well, it says here that He saw that they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. He began to search out that crowd. He saw them and He didn't see anything but hopeless, helpless, and hurting sheep. They had tried the religion of their day. They'd tried to make their lives work. They'd tried, but there just wasn't anything. It was empty. It was hollow. It was vain. It seemed worthless. And there surely got to be more than this. You ever feel that way in your life? You ever get to some places where you say, man, it's got to be better than this. There's got to be more to life than this. I'm just walking through. I'm just in the motions. I'm just going through the steps. I mean, I don't know what to do, and I need some help. And Jesus saw them. You ever seen a sheep that didn't have a shepherd? You know what that indicates? That indicates somebody that's lost something, right? You get a sheep that doesn't have a shepherd, you got some problems. Because sheep, as we all know, and I guess it's funny, but I'm not trying to be funny. They're dumb animals, right? They do not know what to do. They don't know when this is danger. They don't know where's the food. They don't know how do I get to the water. They don't know. They have no idea. But aren't you glad? Hey, the Bible said Jesus looked at them and He saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. Hey, I say Jesus scans the crowd. Jesus searches the crowd. But let me tell you, Jesus begins to shepherd the crowd. Jesus, I mean, they can't find. You know what a sheep needs? The sheep needs to find the pathway that they need to be on. Amen? Yeah. Boy, aren't you glad the Bible tells us, as I said, you begin to look at that 23rd Psalm, and Jesus is a picture of that. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leadeth me. Oh, you need to find the pathway. How do you find the path? You've got a shepherd that can put you on the right pathway. Amen? I'm telling you today, we need somebody to show us that pathway. They can't find the pathway that they need. They can't find the pasture that they need. Some of the writers have said, if you go back and study this in the book of John, it talks about that this was near the time of the Passover. And at the time of the Passover, it was more of a springtime, if you will, springy, early part of the year. We know that, and that's why we celebrate Easter the way that we do. It's in the springtime, right? And the grass was greener then. The grass was greener. Hey, do you know that I know a shepherd that can sit you down? He maketh me to lie in the green pasture. Boy, when Jesus gets you and you're just a poor little old sheep that doesn't know, don't know the pathway, you don't know where the pastures are, but thank God that's why He gave you a shepherd. He'll take you to a place where the grass is green, where the meadow is lush, where the eating is fine, and you can just lay down right in the middle of it. As a matter of fact, you're going to see that's exactly the picture that happens when Jesus gets these folks ready for this miracle of the fish and the bread. What does He tell His disciples? Sit them down. Well, they're not sitting on a bunch of rocks or on a dusty, dry place or whatever. He sits them in the green grass. As a matter of fact, one of the versions, I don't know if it's this one or not, but there's one of them that says, hey, tell them to sit down. And they sit down. Well, it's here. Verse 39, He commanded them, make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass.
They all sat down just like sheep, and he had a place prepared for them. Can I tell you, Jesus has got a place prepared for you.
Right.
Amen. I mean, Logan was singing that song. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites his chosen people, come and dine. Amen. If you'll go and look every time that Jesus got ready to feed people, you know what he wound up doing? His choice of meals was bread and fish. He feeds them here. He feeds them in another place where he feeds maybe 4,000 rather than the 5,000. But then when Jesus is on the seashore and the children are out in the boat and they hadn't caught any fish, he come in, you know what he got? They got bread and fish on the fire. Woo, aren't you glad Jesus knows exactly what you need? He is the shepherd that loves you, the shepherd that is tender. Jesus is shepherding. He knows the pathway that the path they need. He even knows the protection that these sheep need. You know what he says in Psalm 23? It says that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Jesus knows how to protect his sheep. Boy, I can tell you, the Lord can send me and you out. Sometimes we don't even know. But can I tell you, he said goodness and mercy, the psalmist did. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know why? They're just like somebody backing you up when you need somebody to guard you from behind and a shepherd to lead you before. The Lord's got you covered in every place that you could go.
Right.
Amen? Aren't you glad you got a shepherd like that? Jesus saw them. And he wants to bring them some enlightenment. He's bringing some enlightenment. Do you notice what it says there at the end of verse 34? And he began to teach them many things. Many things. He taught them. And they needed that teaching. They needed, you know, a good shepherd will take care of his sheep. He'll talk to them. He'll teach them. He'll say, this is the best water to drink. This is the best grass to feed on. This is the best pathway to follow. This is the best place where you'll find the protection is when you're near me. He'll provide those things. Jesus began to teach them many things. So Jesus is there and he wants to give them refreshment. Jesus wants to give enlightenment. And then last of all, notice this. Jesus wants to give nourishment. He wants to give some nourishment. Now, when you read this, it's almost like you can see it coming, right? It said now, verse 35, when the day was now far spent, and the disciples, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. Well, we knew that. And now the time is far past. Somebody has estimated that the evening time that we're talking about here, the day is far spent. Now think about this. I mean, look. I think probably everybody in here, when we get out, what are y'all going to do?
We're going to go eat, preacher.
Me too. And I just ate, and I'll be honest with you, just a little bit ago, right? I hope you did. Had some breakfast, cup or two of coffee, cornflakes or a Pop-Tart or something, whatever you had. Box of Little Debbie's, I don't know. Whatever you got at home. But, I mean, that's what you had, right? And now you're going to go eat again. Could you imagine getting up early in the morning? And somebody said, hey, we see Jesus. And they start chasing him and they follow him. Now, they've got to go a distance to go to where he's going. And they didn't pack a lunch. They've gotten there and now they've stayed all day. Someone, as I said, has estimated it's somewhere between 3 in the afternoon and probably later, closer to 6 o'clock in the evening. The Jewish way of life was this. The main meal was eaten in the evening. Their main meal was eaten. So basically, they haven't had anything all day long. These people have followed Jesus. They've sat there. They didn't have anything prepared. There is a place where they are. There's no food around. There's nothing. It's a barren desert, dry. And the disciples say, look, the day is now far spent. And they said, this is a desert place. The time's far past. Send them away. Tell them to leave now that they may go into the country roundabout, hopefully. And they'll go in the villages, buy some bread, find something. Because we don't have anything to give them. They have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give you them to eat. Give you them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, generally, you've heard people say this before, a penny was a day's wages. And generally, they would think that a family could live off of that penny worth of bread a day. Okay, well, what do they got? They got enough for 200 people if all of our numbers are pretty accurate. Men, it says there's 5,000. Uh-oh, we need 500 penny worth to cover, or 5,000 penny worth to cover that many, right? And probably because they've got women and children, we probably need more. And it's been all day. And they haven't had a meal. And they are expecting to have their main meal, the most that they'll eat that day. They're expecting to have that in the evening. They've had nothing. And Jesus looks at his disciples and said, well, y'all give them something to eat. If you'll remember, in John, it's in John chapter number 6, that it's Jesus tells them, he says, find out what we got. And Andrew comes back and said, there's a little lad here. And he brought his own lunch. He's got five little pieces of bread. We call it five loaves of bread. It's five small pieces of bread and two small fish. I heard some preacher put it like that. Said he got five biscuits and two sardines. Amen. I mean, that might be a pretty good, accurate representation of what he had. And how is that going to work among so many? Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't even answer that question? I mean, he doesn't. He said, shall we go and buy 200 people? What's that going to do? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? And when they knew, they said, well, we got five loaves and two fish. And he commanded them to make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Philip was the one that said, but what are these among so many? How's that going to work with this crowd? Jesus said, just go make them sit down. Just go make them sit down. Now, you know, I've wondered about that in my idea. I thought, man, how in the world is that going to work? I mean, you begin to see this, and first of all, you notice this. There is some organization to what Jesus is doing. There's some organization to it. I mean, I'd seen it, but not paid too much. But it says he commanded them all to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks or in groups by hundreds and by fifties. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. That you say, well, is that important? Well, I don't know how important it is, but I think it's important to this aspect. You ever been around a hungry crowd? I believe I'd knock Alvin down. I'd grab whatever groceries he's going for. I'd get him out of the way, and I'd grab first. I mean, could you not see that being a chaotic, I mean, just a big, massive mess where somebody said, I'm going to get something for my family. Get out of my way. He gets them to sit down in an orderly fashion. And somebody has even said that this is almost as if they're at a royal banquet, because that's the way the kings held their banquets. They made people sit down and file out into orderly groups, and they sat down so there'd be no confusion, so there'd be no fuss, no whatever you want to have. Hey, there's no chaos going to happen during this time. Jesus says, sit them down and put them in groups. And I believe they sat them down by their family. I believe they sat down, and here's a daddy and a mama and kids, however they are, and they're all laid out there in groups of 50s and bunches of 100, however it is. And then Jesus begins to distribute to his disciples. He's got them. There is some organization that takes place. It is in its fashion. But second of all, don't you notice this? Notice the orchestration of what Jesus does next. The Bible says this, they sat down in ranks in verse 40 by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke the loaves and he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. Amen? I want you to notice this. There was the orchestration. There was the blessing. Brother, whatever you've got, ask God to bless it. Somebody say, well, I don't have very much. It don't matter. They had five loaves and two fishes. But what is that among so many, they said. Can I tell you, give God what you got.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how big it looks, doesn't matter how little it looks, doesn't matter how not like somebody else's it looks. Brother, just give it to God. Well, preacher, all I got is $5 to put in a plate. Put that five in there. God can see that, and He knows your heart, and He knows what you got, and He knows what... Hey, God can't do anything with what you don't have. And He won't work with what you... He wants to work with what you do have. He wants to do something with what you've got. And this is all we got. Well, that's enough. If you bring it to God, it's enough. Can I tell you that little widow over in Zarephath, she said, all I got is a little meal and a little oil, and I'm going to eat that, me and my boy, and we're going to die. And Elijah said, nope. He said, God's going to supply. And God fed them with whatever she didn't have. God fed them for at least 6 months to a year. Amen? Isn't that impressive to think of that? God can, He can take whatever you got, and He can do whatever He needs to with it. He can take it. You remember the little lady also over in the book of Kings and 1 Kings when Elisha is the prophet, and there was a widow woman come to him and said, my husband is dead and he served God, and now we're going to lose our home, we're going to lose everything. My boys will probably be taken in servitude. And the prophet, Elisha, tells her, well, just go to your neighbors, borrow every vessel you can get. And he said, you take oil, sell it. She said, so you just get the vessels and God will supply the oil. And the Bible said they filled every vessel that those boys went out and got. She filled her full of oil from whatever little source she had to start with. It filled everyone. And it said when she filled all of them up, the oil stayed. In other words, it was enough. It filled every bottle, every jar, every can, every whatever she had. Hey, they all got filled. And he said, you go sell that and pay off your bills and live off the rest of it, you and your family, from here on out. You know what? God can take what doesn't seem like very much, and He can multiply it. But I'm telling you this, first of all, lift it up to Him. Ask Him to bless it. Whatever you got, ask Him to bless it. I don't understand it. We were telling somebody yesterday the story about those folks over at North Rockwood when they said that Brother Wittenberg said they was trying to build a church. And they had some property, but it was in a low area. And it would hold water. And he said, that ain't going to work. We got to fill this up. And they understood to fill it in with dirt, field dirt, was going to cost several hundreds of thousands of dollars. Brother Wittenberger said, well, we ain't got hundreds of thousands of dollars. What are we going to do? He got the men of the church together, and they began to pray. And it wasn't too long. You know, I told you that what happened. Up on the hill, and I mean, it's probably less than a mile from the church. Up on the hill, Walmart wanted to build a Walmart. They wanted to build a new building. And one of the guys came down there and said, preacher, we've heard that y'all need some dirt. And we got this hill up here. We're having to level it off to be able to put in the new Walmart area. Could y'all use that dirt? And Brother Wittenberg said, yeah, we'd love it. He said, but we couldn't afford it. And he said, oh, it won't cost you anything. We'll bring it down here and unload it for you. And we'll level it out for you on your pad area. We'll just come in and fill in the whole thing if it's okay with you. Woo! He said, you think it's okay with me? Yeah. Amen. What I'm saying is you don't know what God can do till you ask Him. Lift it up in prayer. Hey, Jesus took these five little loaves, these two little fishes, held them up and said, God, will you just bless these and multiply these? There's the blessing. And then you know what He did? He broke it. Sometimes God got to break some stuff. And you don't think it ought to be broken. But when God gets into the breaking process, He can do a whole lot with it. Amen. He broke that bread, and then he let them bring it to the people. The bringing that they did. It says they went out there. Now, how could they take five loaves? Jesus is there, and He's giving it out. And here comes, you know, John, and He gives him a load. Here comes James. He said, here's you a load. He said, Peter, come here. He gave him. He said, Andrew. He said, hey, Nathaniel, I mean, he's giving it out to all of his disciples, and they're spreading it out with a crowd. And he's got way more than what he ever started with, but he just keeps on giving it out. How did it happen? You know, there's some bunch of dummies, some bunch of liberal theologians that said this. They said, well, when Jesus started doing that, everybody that was in the crowd took out their lunches and they began to share them. That's a bunch of hogwash. You'll never convince me of that. They didn't have time to go home and fix a lunch. When they saw Jesus moving, they got on the move. They hadn't prepared for that day. They run off following him. And when they got there and they were hungry, Jesus fed their hungry bellies.
Amen?
You can't convince me of anything otherwise. I believe that he fed them. I mean, here you go. There was the organization. There was the orchestration of it. And then, I want you to notice, here's the observation of it. Notice what it says in verse 42. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Let that just sink in with you. And notice this observation. At the end of it, you know what you find? Full bellies. Somebody say amen right there. Aren't you glad when you eat and you can eat until you're full? I mean, you eat. Now, it takes a spread sometimes for some of us, don't it? Go ahead and shake your head. It'd be all right. For some of us to get a full belly, it takes a bit. Woo. Man, it makes me want to say something about the Golden Corral. Amen? I mean, I've been in there and I've watched them. He's gone back 5 times. I'm not kidding you. I've seen him. And now he's going for dessert. Go up there and just lay in that chocolate fountain. Just let it roll. Grab a strawberry or two. But listen, I mean, they were filled. They ate at least what they were accustomed to and probably more. They had full bellies. But then, don't you notice this? There were some full baskets after that. It said they did all eat and they were filled. And they took up 12 baskets. They didn't even start out with one basket. And they took up 12 baskets of fragments of the leftovers. They was full bellies. They was full baskets. But you know what that did? I believe for many folks there, it satisfied and gave them a full belief. A full belief that Jesus is the Messiah that we're looking for. And if nothing else, I believe it helped his disciples to further their faith and say, hey, we're following him. We got the right one. We're in the right place with the right man in this thing, and let's not move from it. Don't you dare move from Jesus when he's doing such things as this. And I'll tell you this, he can do those things in your life. He can do the miraculous. He can do the unbelievable. He can do the unthinkable sometimes. Thank God, aren't you glad for that? And Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, and unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Boy, aren't you glad we got a God like that today?
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a verse of a song this morning. There is a thing that Jesus is able to do. As I said, give a full belly. He's able to give up some full baskets and get their